We say thank you, Lord, for Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's because of what you've done on the cross that we're able to receive and be in your presence.
Yes.
We're allowed to have your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Paid the price for us on the cross. Thank you. That we have a heart and a mind to come. Give ourselves to you. Thank you, Jesus. We come afresh this morning and we say, Lord Jesus, we come, we give you everything. We give you our spirits, our soul, our minds, our hearts. We give you everything this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
We surrender again to you, Jesus. We say again, Lord Jesus, you are our Lord and you are our Savior. You are the Holy One. You are the one we adore, Jesus. You are the one we adore. We exalt, we worship, we lift up this morning. And we say thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, your loving kindness, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get ready to get into the word of God this morning. We thank God for his presence.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
Things have been changed things up a little bit. This is one of my outstanding groupies. Just sit here. So we praise God for our here being this morning. The word for the day is changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. Every believer that has come to the kingdom of God, every person has accepted Christ, the Lord and Savior. Gives us a new spirit. We're created in righteousness and pure holiness, the Bible says in Ephesians. But our thinking, our soul man needs to be changed. So we're on this quest after we get born again, allowing the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to change the way we think. Some of us have some crappy thinking. Some of us has a very negative thinking. Some of us has a very selfish thinking. We only thought about ourselves. No matter what our thinking was, everybody's thinking needed to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's thinking needed to be changed. There was nobody good enough that their thinking did not have to change.
Mm-hmm.
All of our thinking had to change. All of our minds had to be renewed. So we're going to talk about changing our thinking today. I'm going to start with the story of Gideon. In Judges. Let's go to Judges 6:11. Judges 6:11. Judges 6:11. And in the story of Gideon, Gideon was an Israelite. And in the town or the place in Israel where Gideon lived, the Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites. Every time they would plant crops or do anything, the Midianites would come and steal the crops and steal the food. And the, really, the Israelites were afraid of the Midianites. But not only the Midianites, but the Amalekites too. They would come against them and they camp against them and steal their oxen and the sheep and the donkeys and all of that. And the Israelites was crying out to God for deliverance. So in Judges 6:11, an angel came, the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said this. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizarite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So Gideon was actually threshing the wheat for the food. He was hiding so the Midianites couldn't see him and come and steal the food. Verse 12 said this, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The angel was telling Gideon that what the angel was telling Gideon was true. Even though it didn't feel true to Gideon, it didn't seem true to Gideon did not see himself as a mighty man of valor. Not at all. Not at all. He didn't feel like a mighty man of valor. And his circumstances wasn't saying he was a mighty man of valor. Do you think that Gideon needs some change in the way he thought? Gideon thinking needed some change, didn't it? Yeah. Gideon thinking one way, and God calling Gideon something totally opposite of what Gideon ever thought about. I'm quite sure that Gideon never thought of himself as a mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor probably never came to Gideon's mind. Verse 13 says this. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? He didn't address the fact about the mighty man of valor. And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So Gideon had what? Gideon had some strongholds in his thinking that had to be pulled down. The way Gideon thought about himself was not the way God saw him. So these strongholds in Gideon's thinking had to be pulled down.
Man.
Judges 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So the Lord is what? He's giving Gideon his true identity and what is going to happen once he steps into that identity.
Yeah.
In order for Gideon to step into his identity, though, his thinking had to change.
Man.
He had to change the way he thought. The way he was thinking about himself. Let's look at verse 15. All this is going on in Gideon. Still ain't got it. He ain't quite got it yet. So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Anybody ever had any of that kind of thinking? Oh Lord, how can I do this? I ain't got this and I ain't got that. I ain't got enough money, Lord. Don't have enough education. God, you know I can't talk right. I know somebody, Lord, can talk away. They can put their words together. They can put their vows all together. They good at public speaking, Lord. So, God, maybe you need to go get them. Maybe you're not thinking right by thinking I'm the one that can do this. You need to regroup, Lord. Like Moses told the Lord, 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 you know, Lord, I can't talk right, I stutter. Lord, you better get somebody else, because you know I can't do this, Lord. I can't talk, I can't do this, I can't do that, Lord. So, God, what about you said Eric? God, Eric can talk real pretty. Eric can talk real pretty, Lord. He can talk way better than I can. So Gideon had all these excuses. You know, all these excuses. The problem was how Gideon was thinking. The future of the nation of Israel was locked up in how Gideon was thinking. And once Gideon thought right, the nation got saved. It took a few things. It took a few, I mean, he had to go with the what? The fleece. He had to go through the fleece thing. He had to go through seeing a dream. God had to take through a lot of things before he convinced Gideon. Gideon, this is who you are. You got to change the way you're thinking and start thinking the way I think about you, Gideon.
Yeah.
He didn't ask Gideon to change Gideon. He just wanted Gideon to change his thinking. And once Gideon changed his thinking came in line with what the way God saw him, then everything changed.
Amen.
Know this, y'all. Feelings don't validate truth. They just validate what you believe is to be true. Your feelings don't validate truth. Your feelings don't tell you what's true. Your feelings just validate what you believe to be true. You could be believing lies and feeling like it's true. Gideon felt the way he was telling the angel. But what Gideon felt was not true. What the angel told Gideon was true.
Yeah.
Just because the word from God doesn't make sense to you at the time doesn't mean it wasn't from God. What the angel told Gideon didn't make a bit of sense to Gideon. Sometimes God's going to give you a word, it don't make a bit of sense to you. But just because it don't make sense don't mean it's not true. Gideon had to change the way he was thinking to step into his destiny. How many of you today, this morning, need to change the way you're thinking to step into your destiny? Your destiny is just waiting for you. God is waiting for you to change the way you're thinking. And once your thinking changes, you can step into who God has for you to be. You can step into your destiny. You can step into what God has waiting for you.
Yeah.
God is waiting on us. We're not waiting on God.
That's right.
God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us to change the way we're thinking. Let's look at Romans 5, 17 through 19. I want to look at this because I want to change one way that you might be thinking this morning. Because this is one vital thing that every born-again child of God thinking needs to change in. Romans 5, 17 through 19. I have mine kind of lined out differently than what the scripture, but you can look at the scripture and see it go along. Romans 5, 17 and 19. One man's offense, Adam, that one man's offense was Adam, and Adam's offense was disobedient. One man's offense, talking about Adam disobedient. Because of one man's offense, death reigned or ruled through Adam. Adam disobeyed God. All creation was born through Adam and Eve. So because Adam's offense, he disobeyed God, then death was allowed to reign through Adam. Judgment came to all men.
Yes.
Resulted in condemnation, and many were made sinners. Let's look at the next one. One man's obedience, Jesus. Through that one man's obedience, we receive abundance of grace. We receive the gift of righteousness. We reign or rule in life through Jesus Christ. If you're not reigning or ruling, it's because your thinking needs to change. Because the word of God says, through Jesus Christ, we rule and reign in life. And we reign how? Through the free gift. Righteousness came to all men because of Jesus. We reign in life through Jesus Christ through the free gift, which is righteousness, came to all men. resulting in justification of life, many made righteous. So through Adam, many were made unrighteous. But through Jesus, many were made righteous, resulting in justification for us. So what is righteousness? Righteousness means you've been made right with God, just as if you never sinned. Justification is a judicial term that means it's God's decision because of the cross that says you are not a sinner anymore, but now righteous. God made a decision. When Jesus suffered on the cross and died and paid for all the sins of the whole wide world, from the beginning of with Adam and Eve to all the way to where the world is, God's judicial decision was, because of the cross, because of Jesus, I'm going to declare all men righteous in Christ. Now remember what it says, we reign in life through Jesus Christ. The free gift comes through Jesus Christ. So in Christ, you have been declared and made righteous. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I just want to make sure everybody know that this morning. Because if you don't know that, your thinking will never change. If you don't change that way of thinking, then you won't be able to change the rest of the way you think. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are righteous. You are righteous because God declared you righteous. In your spirit, man, you are righteous. If you are born again, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are righteous. And you could be like Gideon. Well, I don't feel righteous. Matter of fact, I don't look quite righteous. That doesn't change a thing. As far as God's concerned, you are righteous. The thing is, what do you say about it? Are you in agreement with him? Do you agree with God that you are righteous? Or is your thinking all messed up and saying, well, I can't be righteous. I don't feel righteous. You know what? Sometimes you might not feel saved. It don't make you not saved. Feelings do not change your salvation. You husband and wife, sometimes you might not feel married. It doesn't change the thing. You're still married. You are still married when you feel like it or not. I remember when I had to learn that feelings did not dictate my salvation. You know, where I come from, people thought you could lose your salvation. And you go in and repent, and it makes you feel good for a little while. You did something else wrong. Yeah, sure, a little while, that's it. So feelings does not dictate your salvation. Once you're born again, you're saved, whether you feel like it or not. Because sometimes you might not feel like it. Sometimes it might not look like it to other people, but you're still born again, you're still saved. So know this, that in your spirit, man, you are just like Jesus. So I want you to get that. That you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are righteous. You've been justified. You're not a sinner. Don't ever call yourself a sinner. You're going to hear people say, well, I'm a sinner just saved by grace. Don't you agree with it? You said, no, I'm saved by grace, but I'm not a sinner. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for he, God the Father, made him, Jesus, and I'm going to put this in so y'all know, I just inserted some stuff. For he, talking about God the Father, made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. That means maybe he's sin for you and me, that we might become the righteous of God in Jesus, in him, in Jesus. So there's your word right there. If the enemy tried to get you to think that you are not righteous, tell him, oh, devil, I got Jesus' righteousness. I don't have my own. I got his. Let's look at Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So for us, what's reigning now? Not death. Grace is reigning. The grace of God is reigning for us.
Yeah.
Through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have the grace of God that's reigning in our lives. And it's through righteousness. It's through that righteousness that we got from Christ. It's through that gift of righteousness we didn't earn. We couldn't pay for it. We couldn't die ourselves for it. We couldn't in any way get it. It had to be a gift. So change your thinking this morning. Start seeing yourself as being righteous. Because you are righteous. See yourself that way. Think about yourself that way. Stop thinking about every little thing that you have to overcome. Because when you think about every little thing you have to overcome, that's sin consciousness.
Man.
And we don't want to be sin conscious. We want to be righteous conscious.
Yeah.
We want to see ourselves the way God sees us. He sees us as being righteous through Jesus Christ. So change your thinking. Change your thinking from being sin conscious to righteousness conscious. You are a righteous person abounding in grace. You are a righteous person abounding in grace. Do you ever think you can give out, that you can ever exhaust the grace of God? I don't think so. His grace cannot be exhausted.
No, it cannot.
It's more than enough for me and you in the whole wide world. So start thinking right, and you'll start believing right. Once you start believing right, you'll start being what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Start thinking right, and you'll start believing right. Once you start believing right, you'll start being what you believe.
Yeah.
Your thinking and your believing are connected together. Your thinking and your believing are connected together. Whatsoever man thinks in his heart, so is he. So your thinking and your believing is connected together. Whatever you constantly think about or meditate on will eventually form a belief system or a stronghold. We don't want no stronghold. We want to get rid of those strongholds.
Yeah.
But we do want to create what? A belief system. We want our thinking to change our belief system so our belief system will correspond with what the Word of God says. We want to get rid of the strongholds of doubt and unbelief. We want to get rid of those strongholds of I'm not good enough. We want to get rid of those strongholds that says, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. We want to get rid of those. And we want to build what? Belief systems that are based on the Word of God. And a lot of times we're trying to believe God for something, we're trying to receive something, and we don't realize our thinking has created the wrong belief system. And whatever you put in your whatever you put in there, it's going to have to be filled with that belief system. And if that belief system is not right, if whatever you try to do or believe God for or receive from God ain't going to come out right. I remember when I had a false belief system about the true nature of God, how I thought God was not the way he was. I was born again, I was saved, but I did not know God's true nature. I know some about God, then I had some false stuff about God. And my belief system had to change to where I believe the truth and not all that false stuff that I've been hearing somebody else say. In church. Everything he in church is not true.
That's right.
So you need to take whatever you hear and take the Word of God for yourself and read that Word and say, does this correspond with the Word of God? Is this what God is saying? I remember in the church I heard all the time, try the Spirit, buy the Spirit. That's not in scripture. You don't try the spirit by the spirit. What if there's two wrong spirits? The Bible said, try the spirit to see whether or not it be of God.
Yes.
Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming in flesh, that's of God.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything by trying the spirit by the spirit.
No.
You probably can think of a lot of things you've heard when you read the Bible and say, oh, this ain't in the Bible. Just because something sounds true and sounds good, and I'm telling you, it might even feel like it's true.
Right.
It can be totally wrong. Yeah. Because I told you, your feelings can lie to you.
Amen.
Will
lie.
Yes. Yeah, they will. They will. They can. They will. So whatever you constantly think about or meditate on will eventually form a belief system or stronghold. I'm going to say this now. I don't know what y'all watch on TV where the news and stuff. I don't know who you follow on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, all that kind of stuff. But you better watch who you follow.
Amen. 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 That's right.
Because you will wind up getting their belief system instead of the belief system of the Bible.
Amen. That's right.
And you don't want their belief system. You want the belief system that's according to the word of God.
Amen.
It might appeal to your flesh what they're saying, but it still does not mean it's true. Thank you, Jesus. Your thinking and believing affects your emotions. Your thinking and believing affects your emotion. If you have developed a belief system that when these thoughts come, it causes your emotion to go a certain way, that's because what you believe in is not right.
Amen.
And what you believe in affects your emotions.
Yes.
If you want a different emotion, you must have a different belief.
Yes.
If you want your emotions to change, you got to have a different belief. Different thoughts trigger different emotions. It could be a past experience you had that was bad or something like that, or a trauma. And you have not got rid of that belief about that thing. And when a thought comes about it, that emotion triggers.
Yes.
And sometimes it can feel so real like it just happened.
Yeah.
So if you don't, if you want your emotions to be different, you got to change what you believe in.
Yeah.
Because your thoughts trigger your emotions.
Yeah.
I remember when God taught me that. I mean, the enemy just flipped me up with different fear thoughts and anxiety thoughts. And then once those thoughts come, you start feeling that way. Oh, you know, just like it's real. Just like it's just gonna happen. Yes. And I didn't realize it was the way I was thinking. My thinking had to change. And once my thinking changed, eventually my emotions would change. Eventually, my emotion was changed, and those thoughts would come, and I got another belief system now, so I mean, it's bothering me. So if you want a different emotion, you must have a different belief. The best definition of repentance is to change the way you think. Every time you change the way you think, and you're changing your thoughts to agree with the word of God, that's repentance. Repentance, the simplest definition is changing the way you think.
Yeah.
We're talking about changing your thinking today. You gave God your heart when you were born again. You know, that's good. Now God is saying, what about the beliefs you got? Surrender those beliefs you got that are not godly, that are not like me, that are not according to the word of God. That's not making you the head and not the tail.
Hmm.
That's not giving you victory, but giving you defeat. What about those beliefs? Give me your belief systems. When I started seeing that my beliefs about God's nature was wrong and that it needed to change, One thing I had to do, I had to surrender those false belief systems to God. Andrew sometimes says people got sacred cows they don't want to get rid of.
That's true.
And that's true. Sometimes people actually have belief systems they don't want to get rid of. They want to hold on to them. So God said, give me those belief systems.
Yes.
Those things you believe in that are not like me, that are not according to the scripture, give them to me.
Yeah.
I don't care how they make you feel. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have those belief systems, we use them for protection.
Yes.
But God said, give them to me. Surrender those belief systems that are contrary to God, contrary to the word of God, contrary to what God has for you, contrary to what God wants to do in your life. Get rid of them. I don't care if your best bud gave you those belief systems. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. So you know what I had to do? I got Andrew's tape about the true nature of God. And I would listen to it over and over and over again. And my flesh and those belief systems I had were wrong with cringe. Because why? I was right here. Over here, I had what I had been taught about God's nature. God will get you. God is out to get you. He's out to judge you. He's out to punish you. Every time you do wrong, you know, you got to get it right with God. That was over here. You know, you can lose your salvation. That was over here. Then I was hearing the true word of God was backed up by scripture. See, all the other stuff I had wasn't backed up by scripture. Over here, when I was hearing the teaching on the true nature of God, it was backed up by scripture. So I would read the scriptures. I would meditate on the scriptures. And so the word of God eventually got rid of all that junk. And I formed a new belief system that was based on the word of God. And that belief system told me that God is a good God. Mm-hmm. That God loves me. He's not out to punish me. And you either. So surrender those belief systems to God. Let's look at Romans 12, 2. Romans 12, 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Transformation comes by changing the way you think. You cannot renew your mind without changing the way you think. Transformation doesn't come by surrendering your heart, but by surrendering your beliefs. Give those false beliefs to God. Give those things that you've been holding on to and believe it to be true, but they're not. Give them to God. John 8, 32 says this. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you,
Jesus. Every area of our lives where we believe truth in, we get free.
Hallelujah.
Every area of our lives where we believe lies, we are not free. You can't get free in an area if you start believing the truth. And you can't start believing the truth unless you start thinking the truth. Start thinking the truth and thinking the truth and thinking the truth. That's what meditation really is, one part of it. Thinking the truth and thinking the truth. And you keep thinking it. You keep thinking it, thinking it. And as you keep thinking it and meditating on it, you'll start believing it. And when you start believing it, you can start doing it. Yes. That's what renewing the mind is all about. You can't renew your mind unless you change the way you think. And it's a process. We get saved by believing in Jesus. We get free by believing like Jesus. You get saved by believing in Jesus, but you only get free by believing like Jesus. You got to believe like Jesus. In order to believe like Jesus, you got to think like Jesus. If you want to know how Jesus thought Read the Gospels. It'll show you what he thought. What he thought about the Father. What he thought about people. What he thought about sinners. What he thought about everybody. You got to start thinking like Jesus. The only limit is what we believe. The only limit is what we can believe for. That's why we're limited. That's why if you're limited in an area of your life, it's only, the limit is only there because we're limited by what we can believe for. What you can believe for, you can receive. But if you can't believe for something, you can't receive it. And if you can't think about that thing to the place you see yourself with it, you got to think about it when you see it. You got to think about it till you see it with your imagination. You see yourself being that. You see yourself talking that way. You see yourself being that and doing that. And then you can be able to receive it. But if you can't see yourself being strong, you're going to be weak. If you can't see yourself being successful, you're going to be unsuccessful. If you can't see yourself overcoming, you're not going to overcome. You got to start thinking and seeing yourself that way. The way the Bible says you are. If you're contending for healing, me or anybody else, if you can't think and see yourself healed, then you're not going to be able to receive your healing. If you're struggling with something, you want to get freedom in that area, if you can't think and see yourself free, then you're not going to be able to receive your freedom. You got to think it and see it. As a man thinketh his heart, so is he. You got to think it and see it, and then you'll be able to receive it and walk in it. So you got to change the way you're thinking. Get rid of the negative thinking. Get rid of anything that's contrary to the word of God. Get rid of any thinking that's contrary to the truth that you know.
Yeah.
Because only the truth you know can make you free.
Amen.
So just start with the truth you know. What do you know about the area you want to be free in? What's the truth you know? Go to the Bible and meditate and think on that truth that you knew about that situation. And I'm going to go back to 12:2. I preached on that last week. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in God. Jesus didn't say have faith in faith. He said have faith in God. In Mark 11:22. Have faith in God.
Amen.
So Jesus is completing our belief system. Looking unto Jesus, he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that starts us believing. Mm-hmm. He's the one that completes our belief system. He completes our belief system. Every area of life where you don't have hope means you're believing a lie, and that area is a stronghold of the devil in your life. So think about an area in your life. If you don't have hope in that area, it means you're believing a lie. Think about different areas of your life. Maybe you want a new job, or you need a new car, or you want to buy a house or something like that. What's your level of hope in that area? Do you have hope? If you don't have hope, that means you're believing a lie. But if you have hope, okay, I don't have it now, but I'm going to get it.
Yes.
It's not mine now, but it will be.
Yes.
You got to have hope. If you don't have hope, you believe in a lie. We don't deny our circumstances. We just don't get our belief system from them.
Amen.
You don't deny your circumstances, but you don't get your belief system from your circumstances. Circumstances might say I'm sick, but that's not my belief system.
Nope.
Circumstances might say, well, I don't have enough money right now to get what I want to get, maybe buy a house or buy a car or whatever, but that's not my belief system. Don't believe your circumstances. Don't form your belief system on your circumstances. Circumstances come and go.
Yes.
They change all the time, and they should change. Because what? Our circumstances will eventually change to agree with the word of God, to agree with who we are, to agree with what God has given us. Hope is confident, joyful expectancy that good is coming.
Praise God.
Hope is confident, joyful expectancy that good is coming. If you have hope, like I just said a little while ago, you believe those circumstances are going to change. Whatever you're in, whatever you're battling, you believe if you have hope that this is going to eventually change. God got this. I got hope in this area. I'm hoping and believing that the word of God is going to come to pass in this area, and it's going to change, and it's going to come to the degree of what God says it should be. I have hope. I'm going to get ready to close. But I want to close with a prophetic word. But it really was a prophetic song that I heard, and when the prophetic song, when the person began to sing the prophetic song, I took that prophetic song as, when you hear a prophetic word, if it resonates with you, you can take it. Mm-hmm. It might be for somebody else, it might just be for a whole crowd of people, mm-hmm. but if you take it for yours, it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's yours. So I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to read this. I'm not going to try to sing it to you. I'm just going to read it. And I might comment along as I go along with it. It says, rejoice, O barren one. I want you to think about what area of your life is barren. You have any area in your life where it's barren, where the power of God is not in that area, where the will of God is not in that area. But the abundance of God is not in that area. Think about that. And this says, rejoice, O barren one, for I have heard your cry. And I long to be gracious to you. I long to show you how much I love you. So be glad I'm on your side. I am your God, and I know what's best for you. So be of good courage. It's all going to work out for your favor. No matter what the circumstances say, no matter what it looks like, I'm your God, and I'm on your side. Just meditate on that for a little bit. I don't care what area of your life, whether it's barren or where the power of God needs to come, you're not seeing results in that place. Know that God has heard your cry. Know that he's gracious to you. And know how much he loves you. And be glad that he's on your side. Know that he's your God and he knows what's best for you. Be of good courage, because it's all going to work out for your favor. No matter what the circumstances say, remember, circumstances can lie. I had that in the word. Circumstances can lie. You don't get your belief system from circumstances. So no matter what it looks like, I'm your God. I'm on your side. God is not giving up, and he will never give up on you. So don't you give up on him. Don't you ever give up, because he's on your side. He won't give up on you. And if you do give up,
What I said about repentance, just change the way you're thinking.
Hallelujah.
Okay, God, I'm sorry. I wasn't believing you. I repent. I'm going to stop thinking that way. I know you're on my side.
Amen.
I know you're my only way out.
Amen.
I know you worked it out. I know you worked it out. You know, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning, he's the end. Now, if he's the beginning and the end, he knows all that in between. We have not got to the end yet. But he knows the beginning from the end. He's at the end. He's at the beginning, he's at the end. So all along the way, God has worked it out. There is nothing that would ever come, and I say this and I'm going to keep saying it, there is nothing that would ever come in our lives that God has not already given us a way of escape. He's not already worked it out.
Yes. Yes. Thank
you. We just have to look to Jesus.
Yes.
And receive that way out. Receive that victory.
Amen.
Receive it. So what? Change the way you're thinking. Don't say, how am I going to get out of this? Say, thank you, Jesus, there's a way out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think, how am I going to make it? Think, okay, Jesus, I'm going to make it by the grace of God. Because your grace is sufficient, mm-hmm. and your strength is made perfect yes. in my weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So, God, I thank you. Thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for these, your people, God. We thank you for all your blessings. We give you glory, God. We give you praise. We magnify your name. And God, we just adore you on today. God, you're so awesome. We just say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, if we have even thought about giving up, we're sorry. If we haven't thought about quitting, God, we're sorry.
Thank you, Lord.
We repent and we say, no, we will not think that way. There is no reason ever that would ever come for us to ever give up because, God, you always got a way out. We don't know the way. We don't see the way all the time. Just trust you. You always got a way out.
Yes.
You always make the weak strong. Mm-hmm. You always give us wisdom, and we will ask and look for it and wait for it. There is nothing too hard for you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And God, you healed our bodies before. What makes us think you won't do it again?
Mm-hmm.
Things don't always come the same way every time, but God, you always bring the answer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So God, we say thank you, Jesus. 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 We say thank you, we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for the day of new beginnings.
Hallelujah.
We say thank you for the day of new beginnings. Someone here today, God, needs a new beginning. Some of us need new beginnings.
Yeah.
God, we thank you for new beginnings. We thank you for new beginnings. We thank you for new beginnings. We thank you for new beginnings, God. We give you glory, we give you praise for our new beginnings. God, it's okay to begin again. So, God, we say thank you for every new beginning in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Yes, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And we bless your name. And we say thank you. Thank you, Father. You are more than enough, Jesus. Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough, God. Sometimes we feel like what we have is not enough. But Jesus, as long as we got you, you are more than enough. You are more than enough. Sometimes we feel like we don't know which way to go, but God, you are our wisdom. We have the wisdom of Jesus. Jesus made unto us wisdom, your word says. So in you, we have our answer. We have the wisdom we need. We just wait on the Lord. We wait on your wisdom. We wait on your wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made.
Yes.
We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And as we rejoice in you, God, as we rejoice in being glad and thinking about being glad, God, all that other stuff will just have to roll away. He can't stand up when we praise and honor you and give you glory. It has to go. Thank you, Jesus. We say depression go, no depression in the name of Jesus. We will not be depressed. We come against depression and we command it to go in Jesus' name. No depression in Jesus' name. No depression in the name of Jesus. No looking back, no looking back. God said, no looking back. We will not look back, but we look forward in your name, Jesus. We look forward. We look forward. Our eyes are on you, Jesus. And we look forward. We don't look back at yesterday and how yesterday was. But God, we look forward in your name. And we see what you want us to see. You want us to look forward in you in Jesus' name. No condemnation. Get rid of the condemnation. No condemnation. God said, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. We repent. There was a difference in repentance and condemnation. No condemnation. Just repentance. And I'm moving forward and looking forward in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Someone have let something go. You put it down. It was something God had given you. And God said, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. You let it go, but pick it up. I didn't tell you to let it go. Pick it up. God gave it to you. And you just let it go for some reason, I don't know why. God says, pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. I put it in you, so you pick it up. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Don't let what God has given you go. God, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your loving kindness. I can't get away from that. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. You let it go. God said, pick it up, pick it up. He didn't tell you to let it go. He didn't tell you it was time to quit. You just quit on your own. God says, pick it up. Pick it up. Thank you, Father God. We give you glory, God. We give you praise. We say thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your loving kindness. God, you're so good to us. And we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We bless these, your people. Thank you for today's service, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our children today. And we thank you for Chris being with our children today, God. We thank you for Samantha also when she comes to be with our children, God. We say thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Lord. We give you glory, give you praise. We magnify your name. In Jesus' name.